I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Welcome back, everybody, to Wellness and Dentistry. I am Dr. Kyle Stanley. I am joined here with my co-host, Dr. Martin Mendelson. Martin, how are you doing?
I am good. I'm excited for today's topic.
Yeah. So today's topic is one that not a lot of people talk about, and that is isolation.
Yep.
This is something that dentists have gone through for decades. I mean, many, many, many decades. But the landscape is changing in dentistry. That may be for good. Yep. That may be for bad. Yep. We're going to go into all aspects of this.
Oh, yes, we will.
You know, when I looked at isolation, I think of the single practitioner that is the only doctor in their practice. They never interact with another doctor. They, you know, rarely go to a study club or symposiums or something. They may take a free one here and there that's in their neighborhood, but they don't really interact with their colleagues. And I think the problem with this is that they think they're the only ones going through all the crap in dentistry.
Yeah.
They think they're the only ones that have complications. They're the only ones that have patients that want their money back. And they're the only ones that have team members that it's like a revolving door coming in and out. And for me, going through my darkest time, one of the best things for me was when I realized I wasn't the only one going through it.
Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's, and we didn't even talk about even mentioning this earlier when we were chatting before we hit record, but social media has made it worse because you sit there in isolation and then you attempt to connect by looking at social media, and most clinicians are only going to show you their great work. And that's not a knock, but by the same token, I challenge all of our colleagues to also show your failures. And show challenges that you had within reason, because social media is a public forum. We got to be careful to some degree there. But we need to be honest with each other that not every day is roses and bonbons here, right? Yeah. So we make it even worse if we choose to physically isolate and then attempt to connect online, and that just makes it even worse.
So I have a figure, and I think this is from the ADA, but in 1999, 65% of dentists were practicing as solo practitioners.
Yep.
Which is actually lower than I thought.
Agreed.
I thought it would be like 80%.
Yeah.
Or maybe even 90%.
You know? Yeah.
I have the study here until 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see is a steady decline over time, to where in 2017, it's down to 50%.
Yep.
But still, this means that 50% of our colleagues are working alone.
Well, and it's, and you know, given the fact that it's 2017 and we've all seen the trajectory in our, let's call it, marketplace.
Yeah.
There's no question that the number of solos has decreased and the number of DSOs has increased. And that always brings up a lot of opinions on both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
Last year, I went for the first time to the Dykema meeting, a DSO meeting in Vegas. Mm-hmm. It was 1,500 people. And I just came back from the women in DSO meeting. And that had about 1,000 people. And so it's moving forward. There are some people that think this is the way it's going to go completely. There are other people that think, no, they're going to take a majority of the marketplace, but there's still going to be room for the solo or the small group. But regardless, I think it'd be interesting to talk about the pros and cons from our perspective relative to DSO. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think from an isolation standpoint, it is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
You know, I work in a group practice, so I have two other partners that I practiced with for many years. I have worked in a DSO with five doctors a day. And what I found for me is that my whole life, I was on a team.
Yeah.
I was on a hockey team. I was on a dance team. I was on a volleyball team. I was on a water polo team. And then in dental school too, it's like you're a gang, you know, you're all there till midnight,
Yeah,
and
that's
you're
true.
there on Saturdays, and you're all going through the same thing. And it's like I think you feel supported during dental school because you know all these people are going through the exact same thing. They just took the same test. They have that same asshole teacher. You know, they have those difficult patients that, you know, just want to come in and talk to you, the old people that just have nothing to do, right? Like we all understood the problems. And then you get out, and if you go into a solo practitioner, you're just alone. And my
100%.
dad has talked about this before. One of the things that was difficult for him, and this may come off as, I don't know, pompous or something, but we're usually the most highly educated in our practice, you know? And so it's hard to necessarily bond with some of our team members sometimes when you are the one running the business, you're the one that's highest educated, you know, you're making the most money kind of thing. And you have all these other people that are work for you and your employees, and you love them and you are, you know, there to support them, but you don't feel like you can truly connect to them. So from long-winded answer, but I think moving more to partnerships and group practices is good for our mental health.
Yes, 100%.
Because you have these things where, you know, a new patient comes in and you're looking at something, you're going, gosh, I don't know. Is that a periapical radiolucency?
Yeah,
I don't
totally.
know. And, you know, even now using AI, you have that built-in second opinion, but you still want to go to your colleague and say, you know, like when I was practicing a lot clinically, I would go to Matt or Mark and say, hey, you want
Totally,
to take a look at this? What
100%.
do you think? And he'd be like, I don't know. Have you know, done this? I'm like, oh, I didn't even think about that. And just having multiple brains, for me, it was like being on a team again.
Yes, 100%.
And what's funny too is my brother's a firefighter in Beverly Hills, and he same was like a high level athlete, always on a team. He went into another job. He was doing loans before he was a firefighter, and that was one of the things that he mentioned was he missed feeling like he was on a team, and once he started being a firefighter again, he liked that team atmosphere.
Absolutely. There's so many benefits to it, and I love what you said about not necessarily being able to truly connect if you're a solo practitioner, because yes, there is a dichotomy in income, financial risk, responsibility, oversight, et cetera, and so you even see memes that there's a couple dental assistants and hygienists that I follow, well, more than a couple, on social media, and there's the memes or the videos that come up or reels that come up about the doctor talking about their big vacation and their so I mean we need to respect that and understand that. And I think you talked about clinical elements and being able to bounce things off clinically. I think that's critically important. And to we chat about this before, talk about the elephant in the room. There are those that feel that DSOs don't necessarily provide great care, and DSOs do provide great care. I can tell you from my experience in a laboratory in the mid-aughts, what was that, 6 to 8, 2006 to 8, when I had about 16,000 cases go through my hands at the laboratory. There's great solo practitioners and really terrible ones too. And so the idea that all DSOs are going to produce lower quality care, from my experience, which is significant numerically, is kind of a ridiculous statement, because there's great dentists and there's poor dentists, just like there's great attorneys and poor attorneys, right? So from an isolation perspective, this is critical. If you look at the Grant study, the longest study ever conducted in human history by Harvard, followed about, I think it was 265 undergraduate men for 73 or 75 years, measuring everything, sociologic, physiologic, anthropologic data points, IQ, political position, societal position, net worth, IQ. By the way, side note, fun fact, JFK was part of the study group until his untimely
That's right.
assassination in 1963. And you know what the number one overriding conclusion was? The warmth of human relationships was the single biggest factor in life satisfaction, quote, end quote. We need each other, and we need each other, whether it's within our own four walls or within our dental community itself, whether that's DSO, study club, conference, what have you.
Yeah, I have some quotes actually from the grant study because I talk about that in Lightside Academy. Social isolation and loneliness are as toxic as smoking a half a pack of cigarettes per day or being obese. That is
That's
crazy.
nuts. It's not, well, it just goes to continually refute dualism, the idea that the body and mind are separate. They're not. And the research is, and by the way, I was prepping for a different lecture last night. I forgot to tell you this. So do you know the original discussions of dualism was from Descartes from 1641? 1641. And we still have people in this on this earth that think that, you know, visualizations, manifestations is a bunch of poppycock. Well, the truth of the matter is, if you don't take the action, yeah, you can sit there and visualize all you want. However, just the act of visualization helps the overall process, helps your brain function better, visual cortex, et cetera. We can go into that another time, but
Here's another quote from the It's also called a Harvard Adult Development Study, too. More isolated people are less happy. Their health declines earlier in midlife. Their brain functioning declines sooner, and they live shorter lives than people who are not lonely.
Amen.
And I also think, after talking with spouses of dentists that have committed suicide, and dentists that have attempted suicide and luckily enough weren't successful. One of the big things that they said is that I felt lonely and I felt like nobody understood what I was going through. And this has been such a big mission of mine, and I know yours too, to bring this topic to life. Because even if all this anxiety and depression and burnout is still happening, if we can just tell people, listen, you're not alone. Maybe they'll still go through burnout and anxiety and depression, but maybe we can stop the suicides.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because when you get to that point where you say, like, I'm the only one going through this, I'm an idiot. I don't know why I can't do this. What's wrong with me? Everyone else has got it together. And you feel you're alone on top of that. You feel isolated. That is when that next step happens. And
And I think too, we all get caught up in the busyness of our lives, and we have to recognize that these connections are important. And so how are you making time to foster those connections? You know, I do this. I have a group of about half a dozen friends, and we schedule time to talk. And these friends happen not to be local. I think that's obvious, but I want to say that. And so we will schedule Zoom meetings or phone calls, and it's not, you know, set in stone. Some of them it's every 2 weeks, some of them it's once a quarter, whatever. But it's people that I feel an emotional connection with. And so when I was coming up with my list or the people I wanted to approach, it's like, who do I really feel good around? Like who when I leave their company, I feel like my cup is full, to use a phrase. And so those are the people that I go out of my way to connect with because it's good for my mental health and they love it. I mean, they express almost every single time, thank you so much for doing this. This is amazing. I love you. Thank you. It's just so important. We got to stop the isolation.
So let's say we have dentists that are listening to this and they are solo practitioners. How can they get involved with the dental community to where they can feel understood, they can have this team atmosphere, they can have a regular cadence of getting involved?
I would say two things. Study clubs and your local dental community, meaning organized dentistry. You know, for those who may or may not know, I've been involved in spear study clubs for well over a decade now. I've had technically thousands of conversations with leaders relative to what makes great clubs work, what challenges people have in clubs and so forth. And so whether it's spear or some kind of independent study club, whatever it may be, the benefit to you is immeasurable clinically, but for our topic today, it's also even more immeasurable from an isolation and phys and psychological ramifications. It's huge. It's absolutely huge.
I spend a lot of time at study clubs because I'm usually the speaker. And that Spear, that Seattle Study Club, that's just random local study clubs. And one of the great things that I see is that they have a set cadence, whether it's, every month or it's 6 times a year, or, we meet every month from September to November and then from February to June or something like this. And then they take the summer
Absolutely.
off. But there's that set cadence that I know next month I'm going to see my colleagues again. And, if I'm going through something, I would hope that they would be open enough to listen. And that's always one of my big goals when I go into study clubs, especially when I'm talking about mental health, which is a lot now, is that I say, use me as a scapegoat to bring this up. Use me as like, hey, remember that weird skinny guy from California that came? He was kind of talking about not always feeling so great and, maybe being burnt out. Like, yeah, that's me, or are you experiencing that at all? So we can not only be there and look for our colleagues to nurture us in time of need, but also we can be there for them.
And what I would strongly recommend too, and Spear has this construct definitively, and this could be used for any kind of study club. We got to make sure that it's not just about the clinical, right?
Totally.
We have to have time to talk about our own cases. We have to have time to talk about how we're going to integrate this with our team. We have to have time to talk about if it's a, let's say, newer procedure or one you're less comfortable with, how you're going to talk to your patients. Because
Yes.
until patients say yes, we have nothing. That's like case acceptance is the gate, right? It's the wall. So being holistic in your approach is incredibly important. And having the time, my good buddy Josh Mondlik, he's a periodontist here in the Phoenix area. I go to his study club on occasion, and I love it because they always start out with, "What's going on with you? What challenges are you having?" And they sit there and they openly talk about it. And the clinical stuff is really important, but as I've often talked about dental dualism, this idea that we think we're going to be successful by only focusing on clinical and practice management topics. No, there's the other element there, which is us as people, right? And what goes on between our ears is actually going to facilitate and manifest our actions. So we've got to break down the walls of isolation, talk with each other, do it on a regular basis, and create safe spaces for us to be able to do it. And if you do go to a given study club of one type or another, or you do go to an association meeting and you don't feel comfortable for whatever reason, there's lots of people, there's
Find
lots of
another
us.
one.
Find another one, because it's that important. It's that important.
So what I've seen on the speaker side, I've been a speaker for 14 years now and doing a ton of study clubs every year. We talk about our three P's in wellness, okay? We've got our patient wellness, and we're going to say this all the time, guys, so get used to it. We've got our patient wellness, we've got our practice wellness, and we've got our practitioner wellness. What I've seen over the last, 14 years is patient wellness, which is clinical stuff, is what was talked about almost all the time in my first probably 7 years of practice. Or sorry, 7 years of speaking. Practice wellness has started to gain more, I would say maybe in the last 7 years. Okay. So people are talking, they're more open about talking about business. It's not so dirty sounding to say, hey, we kind of have to run a business if we want to do good dentistry, And then the good news is that in the last maybe 2 years, I'm really starting to see people talk about us as practitioners, meaning us as people
Agreed.
outside of being practitioners.
Agreed.
So it is changing.
It is changing, and one of the things I do in my work with teams, which is always very illuminating, is the kind of doctors I work with understand that they're human and so is their team. And so if we can focus on the humanistic elements of communication, that can break doors down to create a healthier environment so that you don't feel so isolated. So you can have more open lines of communication within your practice. So you don't feel like, oh my gosh, I can't say that, or I can't speak my mind. But if you have a, as I develop with them, an alliance, a communication alliance, then you have a framework to go from to be able to communicate in a different way, holistically, humanistically, so that the place that you spend most of your life is somewhere on most days you would like to go to, right? That's a huge part of it as well.
Well, it reminds me when you're kind of alluding to the fact that you boil everything down and it's just a bunch of humans dealing with other humans, right? And that's where the challenges are, and that's also where the great things come from too, right? When that's when you have a team, and that's when you have support, and that's when you have love, and that's when you have all this stuff. But going back to some of the definitions of burnout, I mean, you've seen me talk about this before, but dealing extensively with human beings that are troubled or having problems, it really shows why so many of us dentists are burnt out, because that's what we do every day. We deal extensively with human beings that are troubled or having problems. Now, most of the time, that's our patients, but that can be our team. That can be our family when we get home. You know, oh, the kids didn't do this, or my husband or my wife, they had a problem with this. And that is difficult. That's challenging to deal with every day, in and out, for years and decades. So it's no wonder. But what I've learned after being so introspective for the last, I don't know how many years it's been, seven, I guess. So many of the things that I teach in Lightside Academy, that you teach in, your private coaching, and when you go in and work with teams, applies everywhere.
Oh, 100%.
So yeah, so it's like, I talk about expectations are a big thing that I talk about, right? And I was just talking to my wife yesterday, and she was telling me something about, one of her friends, and I don't even remember what it was. And I was like, well, yeah, I'll just make up whatever the example was. But I said, like, just set the expectation at the beginning that, like, you don't have that much time to talk, but you still want to talk to them and say, hey, I've got 30 minutes till I have to go pick up my son. But yeah, I'd love to talk. So that at the end, that's what it was. It was, she really wanted to talk to someone, but she said, this person is hard to get off the phone. And I said, that's totally fine, but you have to set the expectation at the beginning. And that's exactly what
100%.
we talk about with complications, with team members. It's just the expectation.
Oh,
And so
absolutely.
once I kind of figured this out in dentistry and started applying it and teaching it in dentistry, then I realized, oh my God, it's just everywhere in my life. Boundaries, expectation, communication.
And
And the
one of my
research
favorite,
supports this, by the way.
oh, totally. And as you very well know, one of my favorite sayings is people do the best they can with the skills they have at the time.
That
And
has
so,
that, hold on, let's don't go through that too fast, because that quote that I learned from you, it allowed me to give myself grace on many, many different times. Because there's things I'm going through for the first, I'm at the time of this recording, I'm 40, and there's things I'm going through for the first time in my life.
I have to give credit to Justin Patton, my dear friend and the first coach I ever worked with, who said that to me, and it literally caused me to sit bolt upright in my chair, and I actually got very emotional because I used it relative to something in my personal life that was very deep and something that had really taken a lot of mental real estate up in my brain. It's a when you really embrace that, it's a really powerful statement. And you talked about working with teams and people are people, and talk about setting expectations. This is fascinating. I think I do this, but whenever I go in and I work with a team, do you know what I do? I film like a 3-minute video that they share with the team, so that the team can see my face, talk about what we're going to do and expectations. You know why? Because I was asked to come in to work with a team. I just lost my words. I was asked to come in to work with a team, and the team came up with, you ready for this? That I'm coming in to tell the doctor who to fire.
Wow.
Talk about expectations. So, when
Yep.
you bring anybody,
Assumptions.
when you bring anybody into a practice, you need to make sure that you're communicating adequately, because it's like, okay, why is this person coming in? They're not here every day.
True.
And it doesn't matter who they are, what it is, what business it is. It's talk about setting expectations and expectations of what's going to happen, expectations of end results, all that kind of stuff. Like, that's huge. Absolutely huge.
Going back to isolation, one thing that I've realized after talking with hundreds of dentists, actually really thousands of dentists, is how it changes over time.
Yeah, totally.
So there's different aspects as you go through your career where isolation can be better or
Yeah.
worse.
Yeah.
So for example, when you get out of school, you may feel isolated in that you don't have any direction.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't have a mentor.
Mm
Now, let's say you start a practice and you're a solo practitioner, you have the isolation of, well, I'm the only practitioner here, right?
yeah.
Even if you hire an associate or two, maybe you're still the only leader then.
Correct.
So you're still isolated in that aspect. You may have the colleagues to bounce off ideas of from a clinical standpoint, but you still feel isolated at there. If you're the
Yeah.
associate, same thing. You may feel isolated in the sense of you have no say in management,
Right.
right? You're just a hired gun.
Right.
And then what's really interesting to me that we've seen with like my dad, with some of our Lightside Academy members, is that isolation happens when you're exiting as well, when you're
Oh,
retiring.
yes. Yeah.
Like we've had someone in Lightside Academy who, and he lets me share his story, but he originally had, how many partners it was? I think he had like four or five partners. So they had like a group practice, and it was like a big practice and so many ideas. And slowly, one by one, they retired. Now he's the last one left.
Yeah.
And what he says is that, even when he had his kid, when he came home from work and his kids were at home, his kids are now grown, they distracted him from what was happening at
Yeah.
the office because,
Yeah.
they were doing sports or they were doing this, that. And he said, now he's a single practitioner. He comes home, it's just he and his wife, and he still feels isolated.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's interesting how all of the stressors that we have in dentistry, all of the triggers can change over time. And you're
Yeah.
going to have times in your career where things are going to be better, things are going to be worse in different times. What do you think
Absolutely.
about
And
that?
it's interesting because happiness is a comparative emotion. And so you can't know joy without sorrow. And within the guise of, let's call it business, the business of dentistry, you can't have, in many times, you can't have, shall we say, co confidence and solace without having gone through some difficult times. And what I mean by that is, as we get older, we have life experiences, and those life experiences inform how we actually react to them. And so no one likes to be sued. No one likes to have the threat of being sued, et cetera. That always carries a big emotional weight to it. But by the same token, if you've gone through that once, and gosh forbid, in this example, it happens again, you're going to have a different perspective. So I think that's kind of what you were talking about, which is kind of life experience over time, and your the way you look at things changes over time because of experience and maturity, and having people you can connect with that are at that, as a lot of, I think even Frank Spear talks about, like, practice journey. Like, if you can hang out with people that are part of your practice journey, and also give back to the people who are coming up behind you, that helps with isolation a great deal. Not only commiserating with people that are your peers, but also helping people as a mentor as they come up. That's very fulfilling for us as people.
Yeah, I've even seen this with dentists that I've helped or have taken my courses that have had burnout twice in their professional life.
Yeah.
They said, I had it when I was 10 years out. Now I'm
Yep.
in year 30 and I'm
Yeah.
having it again.
Yeah. It's just different.
They can recover from it faster
100%.
because they've had the experience before. And you would say to them something like, what would you change in your past? And they may say nothing because I really
Yeah.
learned from that time.
Yeah. Yeah. Many of the people who are listening may know that I'm disabled from dentistry. I had problems with my hand. And in 2020, I had a fall, and then I had a had to have my trigger, I cr had a trigger thumb that had to be surgically corrected. And then in the last couple months, I have another trigger finger that's bothering me. But this is really fascinating. I went in for this finger, which unfortunately is going to be operated on in a couple weeks. I got my first steroid injection and I came home and I was really anxious, nervous, and I'm like, what is going on? Like I felt horrible and I couldn't quite figure it out. And my husband goes, well, of course you're upset. It's your hand. And I went, holy smokes. This is what, you know, this was the cause of a complete life change. And I didn't even realize it, but I recognized the symptoms. I recognized that it was different. I recognized that Houston, we have a problem. And thank goodness I had a partner in life that could point that out to me. But how can we also have that within dentistry and the business of our practices, right? To be self-aware enough to know, okay, Houston, we got a problem. I can lean on my buddy to help me get through this.
That's right. And this is so important that you said that, is that the first step is recognizing there's a problem. I think
Amen.
we said this in one of our previous
Yeah.
podcasts. It's like, even when you're talking about recovery from alcohol or drugs
Yeah.
or sex addiction or
Yeah.
gambling or anything, the first thing is recognizing you have a problem.
Amen.
And even in that, you don't necessarily have to think, I have a problem, but
Right.
something's different.
Oh, 100%.
And for people that go through my Lightside Academy, I say this at the end, that you're still going to have hard days.
Oh, 100%.
But the goal is that you recognize, ah, you know what? I am having that heart racing when I walk into the practice, or, you know, I am crying more, or I'm worried about things. And you're able to recognize it and then use the tools that, you know, you and I teach
Yep.
to get you out of it.
Amen.
Because listen, you and I teach this and we still have bad days, right? Now, luckily we have each
Absolutely.
other that we can
Yeah,
lean on,
exactly.
and which happens in our text chains and our calls and everything.
Exactly.
But you know, I have days where, gosh, I'm pissed off, I'm sad, I cry, I'm scared, I'm nervous about my future, I'm regretful. But I kind of know, hey, this is a hard day, this is a hard week. What do I do now? And I
Absolutely.
lean on the things that I have learned over the years.
Yeah. Well, and I think you bring up an interesting point because I believe one of the reasons why we become so close as friends is because we're talking about that whole practice journey thing. We're at the same place in that element of our lives, right? Our personal lives are a bit different. I'll be 50. Oh my gosh, I'll be 55 this year. Don't have any kids. So that part of my life is very different from yours and vice versa. However, you know, speaking and the business of speaking and the networking and the connections and the challenges that comes with that, you and I very much connect on that level and can support each other. And as we've talked about before, we value that so much going back and forth. And I think that's, I hadn't thought about it this way, but you know, even our friendship is really exactly what we're talking about here today. Finding people that you connect with that are in a similar place in
True.
their lives, don't have to be chronologically similar, just similar place, that can really help understand you. You said that a couple of times, you know, making sure people feeling like you no one understands you. Finding somebody that understands you to help you kind of navigate through, because both of us have had things happen where we're like, oh my gosh, blah, 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 blah. And then the other party goes, well, but did you think about it this way? And you're like, oh yeah, okay. And then it's better. So that's
And
huge.
I want to make sure people don't misunderstand what you had said, and that if you're a new dentist, it's great to have new dental friends, but they don't need to be a new dentist, right?
Correct.
They may be 10, 20 years out. However, they know what it was like to be a new dentist.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, no, totally. I, for whatever reason, I personally have friends that span almost every age group. And it's interesting because sometimes I'll, you know, something will come up to your point about sharing life experience that I'll say something or they'll say something and it'll make me think it's like, oh, well, I went through that before. It's today, not a big deal. And so then I can help them through it and vice versa on other things. And it's just, it's a matter of being open enough, transparent enough, vulnerable enough, to have those connections with others so that they can help you through challenges. It's, kind of like in any business relationship. If we don't know something is going awry, how the heck are we supposed to fix it?
Yeah,
Right?
totally. For me, talking about people that have been through the same thing, but maybe not necessarily at the same time,
Right.
that was my experience when I was talking very superficial with a lot of my colleagues. When I was go okay, so I was going through burnout, depressed, anxiety, and I would talk to colleagues at events or whatever. And it was kind of just superficial, you know. I didn't necessarily come at it as like, hey, I'm depressed, but I was like, yeah, I'm having problems with some patients, this and that. And no one really, I don't know, no one really wanted to open up. However, I remember this call, actually. I remember where I was on the driveway of my old house in LA, and I called my brother first before I called my dad. I called my brother, and he graduated 5 years before me. Okay. And I called him and I go, Brent, what is your stress level on 0 to 10? And he said, right now it's about 7, but he said, like, 2 years ago it was 9. And I said, oh my gosh, yeah, at like 9.9 right now. And he said, yeah, I get it. Like, I was there. This is what I was going through. This is what was happening with my team, with my family, with my patients. This is what I was feeling. And then I called my dad, I think right after that, because I remember being on the driveway still. I called my dad, and my dad said, I went through the same thing when I was about your age. At the time, I was, I think, 34 or something like this. And he said, I think I was about your age. I think he said it was like right after you were born or something like this. And so that shows that you had someone who went through the same thing 2 years ago, let's say, 3 years ago. And you had someone who went through it 40 years ago or 30 years ago. And both of them made me feel like there was nothing wrong with me. That it was okay to have these problems. And, like, with my brother and my dad, I both look up to them, and I could look and say, like, wow, they've come out of this.
And you bring up something really, really important, which is this. If someone comes to you and starts opening up, that's a really, really big deal,
Yeah.
right? And they're coming to you because they believe on whatever level that you're going to be supportive, you can help them, et cetera. And if you've been through that similar thing before, you have a lot to offer and a lot to give. I think as a coach, where my mind is going is this. When that situation happens in our minds, let's take a step back and really honor, whoa, this is like a big deal that this person is coming to talk to me. And so, how can you be supportive? How can you ask open-ended questions of that individual? How can you not basically subjectively listen and be like, well, I've been in that situation before. You just have to toughen it up.
Not a
You'll
big
get through
deal.
it. Yeah, it's not a big deal. It'll pass. So I think it's important to say, if you're being approached, follow up with grace and understanding, because you're only scratching the surface relative to what's really going on with that person.
Yeah, I'm actually writing this down because I kind of think we should do an entire episode on this.
Which.
An entire episode on how to support our colleagues,
Oh yeah.
how to respond,
Oh, bring it on. Yeah.
like,
Yeah. No, that'd be amazing.
I get this question often, and I would like to learn from you actually on
Yeah.
this,
Yeah.
because people will say, like, what do you do if someone says, like, I'm really suicidal? You
Yeah.
know, I've
Yeah.
actually thought about this, and
Yeah.
neither you or I are mental health professionals,
No.
but we're good at doing research,
Yeah.
and we've gone through this a lot. So
Yeah.
I think that could be a good topic, actually, that we
Yeah,
could develop
absolutely.
further.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, the suicide thing aside, just the whole idea of how to effectively listen, how to effectively respond, how to
Yeah.
allow the other party to feel and embrace that you are listening by virtue and nature of actually how you respond. And so we can go into it in another episode, but there's listening is not created equal. There's, listening where you're making it about you. There's listening where you're making it all about the other person. And then there's listening that's intuitive, where you're looking to read between the lines, and in looking to read between the lines, that's where the connection occurs. The intuitive hit is, as coaches often say, when you say, well, it sounds like blah, 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 makes perfect sense that you're frustrated, angry, et cetera. Person may not have used those adjectives, but they look at you and go, yeah, that's exactly what it is. How'd you know?
Yeah.
It's because you're listening in a different way, right?
Yeah. So what final thoughts do you have on this topic of isolation in dentistry?
I think, first of all, we always have to honor our journeys and honor how far we've come. We've talked about success amnesia before.
Success amnesia, yeah.
Just the whole element of gratitude. I have quite a number of one-on-one dentist coaching clients, and I see the growth in them when they're having a bad day, but they're able to pull from successes earlier in that day or that week or that month or their lives. It is a matter of perspective. We've all survived 100% of our worst days. All of us, you, me, and everybody listening.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to isolation, you don't need to go it alone. You should not go it alone. The research shows that it's beneficial to not go it alone. And so my final thought would be, who am I going to reach out to? Where am I going to get involved? The reality that it is time well spent. And so what does that look like? Is it a study club? Is it organized dentistry? Is it a business group? Like BNI is one of them, or
Mastermind or something.
Masterminds. Yeah. There's lots of them out there. Whom can I get involved with to kind of fill my cup I don't feel so isolated?
Yeah. And my last, I don't have very much to add, but the last thing I would say is, if you're in a good place, think of how you can be that person to someone else.
Amen.
You know, if you've gone through this, if you feel like you're thriving right now, be an ear for someone who is not thriving.
Absolutely.
And, a younger doctor, a doctor that's maybe not as successful as you, a doctor that, is new to the country or new to the state or new to the city or something like this, and not have that competition aspect, even in your local area. I've talked about this before, but I have over 52 dentists in my building. In my building, not in my city, not in my town, not on the block, in the building.
It's crazy.
They can walk across the hallway, and the hallways are very small, 4 feet or whatever, and have multiple other doctors that they can go to.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love about the group of doctors that are in my building, we're friends.
Yeah, 100%.
I go down 100%. To my friend Victor's office, and he's a friend of mine. He's helped me. He's done stuff for my mom. There's orthodontists, there's endodontists, there's other GPs. And listen, there's plenty of patients. Come on.
Yeah.
And when we can be a united front as a community, all boats rise.
Absolutely. And, something I just thought of that we didn't even talk about earlier is, go somewhere together, go to a conference together, go to a lecture together, because the act of traveling together, breaking bread together, if you drink, the idea of having some cocktails or not, if you don't, just the idea of the socialization in combination with learning and growth bonds people together big time.
Well, great. I think this was a really good topic. This is a topic that needs to be discussed. I think a lot of people will feel better about themselves. I hope people will make a change, perhaps, and join that study club, that local study club, that they're like, those are all my competition. I don't want to go there. I see the exact opposite.
Yeah,
technically they're your competition, but guess what? They can also be some of your best friends. They can be your closest companions.
Totally.
They can protect you, because sometimes you have a great patient that you think is awesome. They do something weird. They go to another one and they talk crap on you. And your competition could say, oh, Dr. Smith, I know her. I mean, she does great work, and you know what I mean? So, you should think about this.
And you know, we talk about competition, it's like I always look at it this way. You're sitting in a room with fellow dentists. It's not like you're at some community event with a table next to each other and patients are walking by. It's like,
Right.
let's get real here, folks. Like, yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, a really good topic. I hope we help a lot of you.
Yeah.
If you've listened to this podcast and you think, hey, that was pretty cool what Kyle and Martin were talking about, or my classmate I know of, or the dentist down the hall, or maybe my spouse needs to listen to this, please send this to someone else.
Please.
Send it to someone. Text us or message us on Instagram. Let us know you did it. We'd be happy to hear that. Any reviews, if you really like this and would like to leave a review, please leave a review. This stuff really helps us focus more on the podcast, bring in guests, spend more time. And lastly, if you're interested in anything that we do, whether it's Martin's in-person coaching, whether it's his remote coaching, coming with your teams, it's Lightside Academy, it's Lightside Live, having us speak at one of your study clubs, one of your events, just go to wellnessanddentistry.com. You'll find all of our links. And we'll see you guys on the next episode. Thanks.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.